Mosley will do. Section number three, number six, 2271, regards to Dennis White, DVM, continuance of informal interview of July 20th, 2022, for the purpose of receiving additional information and reviewing possible action to approve proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and adopting an order.
Okay, thank you. I would start out by making a motion to adopt the findings of fact and the conclusions of law as
second.
Drafted.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the findings of fact. Let's do a roll call vote since this is an order. Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Mosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Reed is absent.
Okay, motion carries.
And at this time, can we ask priors?
I have that. Dr. White has in the past had five disciplinary actions. The first one was back in 1989. Because it's so old, we don't have any other information that he was issued a degree of censure. In 2001, he was found in violation for not notifying the board that he had become a responsible veterinarian at a hospital, and he was required to pay a $50 civil penalty. In 2003, we have a violation for, again, one I'm not sure exactly what for, and his license was placed on probation for 1 year. That's all I can see on that one. In 2004, he was found in violation of failure to change his address with the board as required. He is required to pay a $50 civil penalty, and it was considered an administrative violation. In 2018, he was found in violation of ARS 3222-3212 related to R311-501. Failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures by not discussing long-term home care instructions to manage constipation issues. His license was placed on probation for 1 year. He was required to complete 5 hours of CP and GI issues in cats and pay a $100 civil penalty, which he did.
Okay, thank you. Most of those were administrative. The last one was definitely a violation. Okay. So before I would make a move for to an order, I would like to ask the other members of the board, in a case like this, what type of CE is appropriate? If I could remind you, we were just basically did not evaluate the patient correctly, did not address the patient's concerns at that time, and inappropriately suggested some things to do at home. So where do you go with a case like that? Is that just general exam and also, secondly, the number of hours, I guess that's not as critical. And this is the second time we had kind of a similar violation in hearing the prayers.
I mean, I would definitely increase it from what we had last time. But with the other ones not being related, I don't necessarily know that we can say there's really a repetitive pattern.
Right. This is just the one that you mentioned. Okay, so I would make a motion for an order to issue the respondent in 2271, period of probation for 1 year, to obtain 6 hours of CE in the area of examination and diagnostics, I guess is where I could go with that. And 60 days to provide the board with that plan for the CE.
Okay.
And then I would add a civil penalty of $250.
Okay. So it's not signed within?
If not signed within 30 days.
Okay. Signed within 30 days, remand to Formal hearing, yes.
Second.
Well, this is a board order.
Oh, okay, so we don't have to do.
Only with the consent agreements, thank you for taking that, though.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Let's go ahead and do roll call again.
Thank you.
Dr. Burns?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright's absent.
Okay, motion carries. Okay. Let's go now to, we are under section five, number seven. Board may review, discuss, and take action on premises license application and required inspection for Wickenburg Veterinary Clinic. Responsible veterinarian is Robert Frith, DVM, Victoria.
So, reported today on an inspection that was required as part of a new application for a change in responsible veterinarian for Wickenburg Veterinary Clinic. So the board's been given the staff memo describing the multiple issues that were discovered at this clinic that were quite concerning. Late yesterday, I did get the response. I just gave you part of it, to hand out hard copy today, which is the text response to each of the violations. But I also put on the cloud the other things that they added. There is a multi-page. They sent all their new procedures and policies and things like this. It's, I don't know, like 60 pages long that I haven't had a chance to fully look at. I just skimmed it. And then they also included some pictures of like where they cleaned out the refrigerator that I asked them to clean and some other things. You know, so typically what we do with everyone, just look at their response and, you know, is it adequate? Again, I haven't had time to review it, but the things that I was glad to read in this is that they have stopped all surgeries and procedures until they have the proper equipment and protocols in place, because that was one of the biggest, you know, concerns there. And so that they, I had also asked them to give me more records since I was there of surgeries, so they're also saying, well, they couldn't provide that because they haven't had any surgeries. You know, the other thing, based on the photos that I shared with you, they're just saying about the surgical packs that they got rid of the, you know, anything that was inappropriate. And they're just using, let's see, they say all surgical packs assessed, surgical packs with visible stains, debris, et cetera, removed, updated surgical pack protocol implemented on August 12th. And then I think then there's more to it in the big pack. So as I read this, so to delineate, so the response came from the corporation. It didn't come from Dr. Thrift, which there's nothing really wrong with that, except it kind of feeds into my concern there that no one really seems to be in charge. And from reading what I did read and the response, I can't tell either. And it's my opinion that they can put all these processes in place if they want to, but there's still no one there to, who's going to hold the staff accountable to all these procedures is unclear to me. So that's something I would like to follow up with Dr. Thrift and the corporation to see, well, who's really, is there a hospital manager? They mentioned that they just hired a CBT who's gonna be charged of training. I don't know if she is aware that was gonna be dumped on her. But that's kind of the really overall thing I see is like the really big problem of there's no one in charge, who's going to be in charge and make sure this actually stays in place. And then the other piece of it, which is a little harder to grapple with at an inspection, really as an inspection, is the reported and observed use of very outdated medical skills from at least two of the veterinarians that work there. So another person that works there who's very concerned gave me one example that I've said I would share, and that is the use of a tourniquet on a cat, using a tourniquet on the cat's neck to get a blood draw. So I had
that's
never
called
heard,
a noose.
So I asked our resident CBT if that was normal, and she said no. And then just the other comment that this person commented was, this person had been in practice for over 25 years and had never seen such horrible practice from other veterinarians. And she's never seen such outdated things going on.
to a point that she probably won't continue to work there. So I'm not sure how we get to that. You know, normally outdated medical care has come through a complaint from a patient, right? So I'm not sure what we do with that.
Does this corporation, how many premises do they have in Arizona?
I don't know the answer to that.
I know several. Yeah, I know several, but I've never, I mean, I've been doing this 25 years and I've never used a tourniquet on a cat's neck for a jugular. So, I mean, I'm sure there's others that maybe have more than 25 years, but that's not a thing.
I'm not sure they did that.
That never was, right?
Ever.
And I've read some old books too, and I've never heard of that.
This is unsigned, and I think it needs to be signed off by the responsible veterinarian.
Oh, I think that's just a copy of what she provided.
Responsible veterinarian?
No. Victoria just gave you the.
Yeah, it was emailed from a man, like the operations manager of the company.
Yeah, to me, it still needs.
But right, it doesn't have him on it.
We're not, the corporation isn't the responsible veterinarian.
So he should be involved in it in some way, and I agree.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is the responsible veterinarian, we in name only, and we just name, he's even, doesn't even live there, is that right?
No, correct.
So.
It's not a requirement that they do either.
No, no.
I mean, there's plenty of responsible veterinarians that aren't even in this state.
Well, they have to be in the state.
How do they?
No, they're licensed in this state.
They have to live in the state. If they don't, then they shouldn't be.
Oh.
Well, we have that.
We want to start coming up with the appropriation.
We've definitely had that before, because we had one who moved back to Texas and always took the calls on the complaints from Texas.
Oh, yeah, no, we've had a few that I know they weren't here.
If the goal is to get this practice back in line, how do you do that?
Yes.
Without a responsible veterinarian there doing these things?
I mean, maybe that's the question I have to them is, who's responsible for this? We understand you have a responsible veterinarian who's not on site on a regular basis.
So they're not really.
Right.
Yeah, so they're not there. We have serious concerns about this practice. We see that you're taking action. We want to know who's going to be monitoring this. How often are they going to be in the practice? What authority do they have to, you know, help direct the medical, you know, like that kind of conversation versus like.
We don't regulate the corporation. We regulate the responsible vet.
Yeah, but we can deny the premise license.
But that's the responsible vet.
That's regulating the corporation.
We don't license.
They can't have a premise. Right? I mean, that's a hook in the corporation is, we don't approve the premise license and they don't have a clinic to open.
But isn't it the responsible veterinarian?
Madam Chair, members of the board, we should probably just take this one step at a time.
Okay.
And the question before you today is, we do have their response and the things that they're going to do, so we need to give them some time in order to implement that. I think the questions that have been raised, I think between now and the time it comes back to the board, perhaps Victoria or staff can flush those out.
They've responded, so now it's the ball's in our court to decide if we want to accept this response.
Yeah.
And but our 90-day deadline to issue license in September has been extended to September 2nd.
So I guess the question is, you know, do we have time to go out there to see that all of this has been implemented? Mm-hmm. Is that the way that you want to verify?
I would rather ask the questions and find out who's actually in charge here. And if there's no one in charge, then we don't accept the application. If there is somebody in charge, a veterinarian that's going to be there on a regular basis, they have to file all the paperwork to change their responsible vet, right? So they would need to do that.
But the responsible veterinarian doesn't have to be there on a regular basis.
No, but I think in a case where we've had repetitive issues, we could say, you know, we're really looking to have a responsible veterinarian that's there to make sure these things are happening. Otherwise, we're concerned about renewing the application.
Well, he is right? Part-time. We just don't know what part-time means.
We can't impose, though, requirements that aren't in the statute. Because of past, you know, conduct, we can't hold them necessarily responsible. What you can do, though, you know, is you know, kind of, you know, continue this into your next meeting. I know we have a deadline, you know, and there are, you know, fees that might have to be be returned, but, you know, not act on the application until you had a chance to maybe speak to them in person, you know, and let them know the seriousness of what their, you know, what the concerns of the board have been, and moving forward, you know, we're kind of off to a little bit of a bumpy start.
Can't we just deny the premise application with the responsible vet that they have it under currently? And if they want to get a premise inspection, they need to find a responsible vet that we approve?
I don't think we can, but Marcus is. Because we don't just have the Practice Act to look at, we have to look at another overarching law.
Yeah, there's another law, 41-1009, that talks about inspections, and it only applies when you actually go out to an office or a premise. And when you notify, when you discover deficiencies, the first thing that you have to do is give them a reasonable opportunity to comply.
I know, I'm not sure whose reply this is my concern.
Well, that's where we would verify by conducting a, you know, follow-up to see that everything has been corrected.
I replied on behalf of a responsible veterinarian, because the responsible veterinarian typically is, they're responsible for everything, but they aren't typically the one composing all of it. So do they review it? Absolutely. Are they aware of it? Absolutely. And I can't say in this case, but I'm just saying it's not unusual that it doesn't come from that veterinarian. Victoria did get the email from them. This is just, you just got a copy of it. You can go on the...
How do we know he knows and agrees with and signed off and is responsible for this policy?
But how do you know with any of the other ones? How do you know with any of the
same
other
question.
Ones? But we have never asked that question.
Okay. Well, I guess we've always said, until we start having repeated concerns, we don't. But once you start having things like this happen, where the inspection is bad and we're hearing all these tourniquets and stuff, like, that's when you need to say, wait, the heck's going on here? I'm sorry, but this isn't working the way it's supposed to. You have a responsible vet, and clearly they're not doing their job.
Is there any way we can hear directly from the responsible vet?
We could certainly invite them to the next meeting, so we can
be satisfied that these things are going to be done.
And ask him those questions.
Ask those questions.
And the corporation kind of what that is. When I was there, I actually had a conversation with Dr. Thrift and tried to impress upon him that he is responsible and that he shouldn't rely on the corporation to do anything. And you know, I didn't get much response or
it didn't register
at all, which is also concerning. There was no shock, right? It's again, you know, I'm not a veterinarian, but you don't need to be a veterinarian to see that. If you thought what I saw in those pictures was okay at all, there's something wrong, right? It's just that simple. So no one seemed to be concerned about that. So,
and that's where I go, I just can't offer. Like, I can't continue to say, yeah, I feel confident we should approve this or move forward, because even as a layperson, you're like, this isn't how it should be operating.
No, yeah. This doesn't, yeah.
I mean, that's knowingly saying, we're okay putting animals at risk because we know what's going on, and, well, we can't do anything about it.
Right.
Like,
this
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, for public protection, I feel we have to.
So I think I've heard of a good plan of that. Even if we go past our September 2nd deadline, that's okay. That actually gives me more time to try to get out there, and gives them a little bit more time to put these protocols in place so that they've done surgeries before I go back again, and then also invite Dr. Thrift and whoever wants to come to the September meeting.
Responsible vet.
So that
is who I think should be asked to come as the responsible veterinarian.
And then you can make a final decision at that time. But the overarching law does talk about if there's limited things that you can deny a license for. So we'll have to talk about that.
And can we open a case on him as a veterinarian?
Yeah.
For medical standards.
I don't know how we get at that. That's the problem. So.
Well,
that'd be nice.
Yeah, let's just take it one step at a time. We don't have any allegations that he's responsible for anything other than being, you know, the responsible veterinarian at this point.
And unconcerned about what was found on the premise, right?
Except,
you have Victoria who doesn't
know
any of these going, he didn't even seem concerned that the clinic looked the way it was, that the violations were there, that any of that was going on.
Yeah.
And clearly things are happening in this practice that are, I don't even want to say antiquated, but quite honestly, cruel.
Yes.
And I personally don't feel like as a board, I would support moving forward, knowing that that's going on until we can get some kind of resolution. I don't know what that is, if it's the plan that you're saying, go out, let's reinspect, have them come to the next meeting, but
I just don't feel like, we have to do something here. We can't just say, okay.
It's almost like we need a responsible veterinarian, so here's one we put on the form.
Can we delay the September 2nd deadline?
Well, it's not that you delay it, it's just that, it doesn't mean that if you miss it, that the application's approved. It doesn't. All it does mean is that the board refunds the fees that were paid. That'll come back, but again, this'll all come back. You're not, you know, you'll have the opportunity to approve it if you feel comfortable, or deny it if you think that's the appropriate thing to do.
But do we have to take formal action to deny it or refund their fees?
No.
No, good, okay.
And just for my own clarity, aside from the premise stuff, with the mention of the use of the tourniquet, that wouldn't fall certainly under the premise, that falls under, would you have to open a case to look at like how the clinic is practicing, okay? But we don't know if it's him or if it's another.
It is.
It is him.
I was told that it's him. It wasn't the other, concerns about the other rep, but that thing was related to him.
But those two things are separate, right?
Those two things are separate, so I believe that if that is information that the board has, and the board could open a case.
We could open a case based on that, couldn't we?
Yeah, but I don't know, the reality of this is I have that, someone else telling me that, who said she'll, it's okay if I tell you, but I don't know if we have, you know, a client point that to you or anything else. I don't know if that makes any difference for.
Well, what we can do is perhaps, you know, maybe reach back to her to say, you know, if, you know, based upon what you've just said, you know, would you consider, you know, filing a complaint with the board and providing, you know, as much information as you have.
So start with that.
Yeah, and start with that.
Yeah.
And then we'll know between now and the next meeting whether that took place.
And from there we can open a case or not open a case?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think if you have him here, I think that's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, and I had also, just while my memory is fresh, I had, again, not an expert, but I've seen enough records over 12 years to know what's missing when I see pre-meds and anesthesia and pain management, and like there was none, right? And I tried to talk to him about that, and he started, wanted to ask me specific questions, could he do this and do that, and I just said, well, I can't tell you that. But I just said, you know, it just appears that, you know, perhaps we're kind of working on outdated ways of doing things, and you may want to hear that. So I think there's more than just the tourniquet going on there.
And there has been a history with these places, has there not?
There has, but almost
everybody
is new,
license
right?
Number.
And we can't, although I know, we can't a look back because this is a new.
Be careful now.
Okay.
Mine's pretty low.
About you.
It's a new application because it's a new responsible vet.
Yeah.
We still get back then.
Yeah.
Okay.
100 clubs. I know a couple guys got 20.
I think we have a plan. Thank you.
Okay.
So
we go. Good on that one.
We'll memorialize that plan, though.
So we're going to refund their fee?
No. Just that we're going to continue this matter until the next meeting. In the interim, we will invite the responsible vet in at that meeting and try to do a re-inspection.
That's what I understand.
Is it? Did I miss anything?
What? So what happens with the
deadline? To come in September.
Yeah.
And then we might want to find out just the questions to the corporation on who's enforcing this, who do they see as the enforcement of this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I can ask that.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
So their premise license is not approved at this point?
Correct.
No. Okay.
Okay. Item number 8, board may review, discuss, and take action on proposed 2023 board meeting dates.
So I put that in your hard copies, in your, but it's also on Drive. So everything is just proposing the third Wednesday of every month, again, except for December, so back on what we normally had. I did have a note that we may have to change September because of the AABC annual meeting again, but I found out yesterday it's the week after, so it shouldn't matter. So if everybody is okay with these, the third Wednesday of every month still, I don't know what room we'll be in, but there should be a room for us to be in.
We're getting used to these ones.
I know, right? Any objections to this calendar, because then if you approve it, then we'll start reserving the rooms.
Do we need a motion to approve?
Yes, please.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second to approve the 2023 board meeting dates.
No.
Yes, you are.
You said you're not gonna be here. Who said?
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next up, item number nine, board may review, discuss, and take action on chapter bills from the legislative session. Fun, Victoria.
Thank you, so I'll just go through these first, because I don't think any of these are really new, but just now that they've passed, just to let you know. And then later, you typically, the AG's office will create a memo that explains things more in depth. But just to point out, so the first one, HB 2626, animal handling microchip scan. So this bill did pass that requires veterinarians to scan for the presence of microchip for all stray dogs and cats brought to the premises and to make a reasonable effort to contact the owner. And then it also impacts our animal crematory licenses as well. It requires all dogs and cats brought to them by a person other than the dog's owner that they need to scan and also make a, try to find them. And one of the original versions of this bill did include another disciplinary action, actually put into 322232 for disciplinary action, but that was, it was amended to take that out. So there's no like direct specific
there's no disciplinary action.
Thing that the board would do if they find someone in violation. So,
how would you know?
So I there'd have to be a complaint.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is there a level of decomposition where this is a moot point? You don't have to do it?
I'm not sure where this came from. So the other one is HB 2587. It's kind of an obscure one. We could get lots of questions about this. Oh, no, actually, this is not the one I meant. This one is about public records, points of contact, which we already do. It just requires agencies to make sure that it's promptly displayed with who a person can contact and address or email address, name, phone number, if someone wants public records. So,
Victoria, why do we have so many public information requests that your office is having to deal with right now? Is there something going on?
There's 500 file record requests is from one person. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
From one person?
It's from one person.
Mark?
Yep.
At some point, isn't, I mean, 500 requests from public information requests from one person. Is there some point that you know, becomes unreasonable, excessive? I mean, we have a small staff that are already, you know, handling everything.
Yeah, I am so sorry that this isn't on the agenda to discuss.
Oh.
So, in general, Victoria and I have talked, and under the public records laws, you know, the reasonableness really comes into the time in which it takes to comply. And that is something that Victoria has done a fantastic job of doing with all public requesters, but in this one in particular, that it's a rolling compliance because they know it's going to take a lot of time.
Wow. They're not from Dr. Rettler, are they?
No.
So that was that bill.
I might have been part of that.
Yes, you were.
I wasn't.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was you.
I was being kind to myself.
It's your fault?
You know, so I think mental illness is the fault.
So the next one is SB 1637. This is the one that I said is obscure, but we get a lot of questions about. It's called Health Professionals Business Entities Interference. And it says, a health professional may engage in the practice for which the health professional is licensed in any form of business entity in this state or as an employee of any form of business entity in the state. So a lot of times we get questions from lawyers and things saying, can the practice be set up as an LLC or what does it have to be? So this is, we've always said it doesn't matter, but this just says that too. So I guess we needed a law to say that. The last one is HB 2612, Occupational Regulation. This is expanding more about universal recognition And it's saying, there was an executive order that said if you all want to deny an application for universal recognition, that we had to send it to the governors first. So that's, the executive order's gone, and now we have it in law. So you can't deny a universal recognition application unless the governor's office approves that. This new law also talks about putting more requirements on us to put things on our website about universal recognition and availability for military spouses, things like that. And it also requires, for me, two new annual reports about universal recognition, as well as we have to start tracking whether each applicant is a veteran or military spouse. So as soon as this law goes into effect in September, we'll change our applications so that we can start asking that information, because now we don't. So something else to track and make reports about. This particular law section bill also adds more things to the whole sections about inspection. So in our last item, I was mentioning an overarching law related to inspections. This is it. So it seems like each year they kind of keep picking apart and adding more detail to the stuff about inspections. Nothing really major, because we pretty much do everything anyway. And then there's a whole big sections about rulemaking that I won't go into, because that seems to change all the time. So, but those are kind of the main ones that impact us soon. So that's why I wanted to share.
Victoria, wasn't there also a bill that struck the of good moral character section that occurred this year?
It's in the bill.
It's in there too?
Yeah. It's in there too?
It's
okay.
In there,
okay. I couldn't remember the bill number.
There it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you shouldn't have it. So that's
okay.
So
social media. I don't know who it is.
We're going to change your applications. We've got to take that out too, where you had to get, which actually.
In September?
Yeah, it goes, so we'll change that.
So is it just a reference letter now, not a marker,
moral
character?
Yeah, it's those forms, yeah. So those forms will go away, the moral character reference forms will
go away.
So
you don't need a reference anymore?
So not a moral character one. They'd still have to get a professional reference if they've been working.
Got it, okay. So it'll change, the name will change.
Yeah.
So if they don't have to do that, how come I had to get fingerprinted?
I don't know. So that's all I have
about law. Just throwing it out there in case somebody from the administration listens to this.
I just want to know why I have to get fingerprinted on a set period of time, and they can take 6 months to respond on anything else that they did.
I got out of getting re-fingerprinted because they had such a problem getting mine the first time. Mine are worn off. So I talked with the governor's office of boards and commissions. They were actually responsive that time. And they said I didn't, they can use the old ones, I didn't have to get re-fingerprinted. However, I've reached out to them twice in the past month to try and find out about my Senate confirmation hearing date, and have gotten no response.
Well, they're not in session now.
Yeah. No. It's the governor's office, the boards and commissions.
No, but that you're
it should still be
scheduled. Yeah, but we've still got to be scheduled.
They can't schedule it until, because it's not up to them, the Senate will schedule it. Yeah. Governor's office.
Okay.
It won't even be that governor.
I know. That's what scares me.
Okay. Number 10. Board may review, discuss, and take action on proposed fiscal year 24 budget request and strategic plan.
So that's me again. So I always hope to have that done by this August meeting, but I don't, because of a certain $500 record request. So I just today wanted to share with you, as far as what I'm going to propose as budget request items, which is nothing big. This past year we did the big items to do the e-licensing. So just kind of asking for increases in professional and operating expenses and personnel expenses. So for example, we call it CSB, Central Service Bureau, is the part of the accounting office, the state's accounting office. They do a lot of our financial reporting and things. So we pay them each year a certain amount. So that's gone up the past few years and jumping up even higher this year. So I just want to ask for that difference that we're paying more. Same thing a little with, but not to as big of an extent, the AG's office.
I was just going to
just get us the budget appropriation for what we're actually paying into these other state agencies.
Yes.
And then the other kind of inequity that we just have going on with our budget that we have long before I ever came here is it doesn't, on the personnel budget, the budget doesn't include room to grow as people's salary grows, right? So ideally, you'd have enough money to cover people to the top of the range of the salary, so we don't have that for anybody. So even though we may like to give raises, we don't necessarily have enough money to do that in our appropriation. So that's what I want to ask for, so that we can continue to give people raises.
So they're not automatic step raises based on performance?
No. So that's mainly what I was asking for. Does anybody have any thoughts about budget that you think that we should be including? Or
no? Are you asking for
items?
Sure, Tyna?
Yeah. So that's all I have about that. Thank you. And that's I'll have that done at the end. It's due at the end of this month.
Okay. So we don't have to take any action on it?
No.
Okay.
I can bring it back when we're done.
Okay, so Victoria's up next with the executive director report, fiscal year 22 financial budget update.
So that's have in your packet a very complicated Excel spreadsheet that has all kinds of tabs. I didn't print out hard copies if you had looked at it. The main thing I always look at is the tab that's called the trend report. That shows by month and by year to date, all expenses by what we call comp objects, as well as income. So this is kind of when I review this, just kind of talk about what's interesting or different from other years. So this was a FY22 was a non-renewal year. And so I compare that to the most recent past non-renewal years. And so we actually had a much higher revenue than we normally did, almost 211,000 compared to 154 in FY20. And interestingly, we didn't have that many more applications, but what just to point out what the difference is because if you remember back, the board allowed application and license fees to be put off until the executive order related to COVID was lifted. And so people who would have paid those fees in a previous fiscal year, they didn't pay until FY22. So that's why it looks like we got a lot much more revenue compared to past years, but we really didn't. That's because that's what that difference is. We came under budget again, about $86,000 that we didn't spend. I think this coming year, and that was mostly vacancy savings with staff, so that won't happen or shouldn't happen this year, I don't think. So, but other than that, nothing was out of ordinary or, you know, that I see any issues with. Any questions at all? And I'm always happy to dive into the details and go through the spreadsheets and stuff with anybody, but I know it's real exciting.
Yeah, thanks.
No, here's some more about
He told me some more about it. So that's all I have, unless anybody has questions.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, now we're on to the review and approval of the minutes. Who wants to take those? About the June 15th, 2022 regular session minutes, and we're going to have Dr. Byrne and Mr. Lohe abstain.
I move, Madam Chair, I move we approve the June 15th, 2022 regular session minutes.
Okay, motion and a
second.
Okay, motion and a second to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. We've got the 2015-2022 executive session minutes with Dr. Byrne, Ms. Frost, and Mr. Lohe abstaining.
That leaves five of us left.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair, I move we approve the June 15, 2022 executive session minutes.
Okay, motion?
Second.
Second to approve the executive session minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Now we're going back to the July 20th, July 20th, 2022 regular session. Again, we're going to have Dr. Byrne, Dr. James, and Dr. Wright abstaining.
Madam Chair, I move we approve the July 20, 2022 regular session minutes.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. July 20th, 2022, executive session number one, abstaining Dr. Byrne, Ms. Dr. James, and Dr. Wright.
Madam Chair, I move we approve the July 20, 2022 executive session number one minutes.
Motion.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And then July 20th, 2022, executive session number two.
Madam Chair, I move we approve July 20, 2022, executive session minutes number two.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. All right. Let's do the consent agenda. Nobody ever wants to do. This is where we need Dr. Wright.
I would make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, removing A1, A2, A3, A4, A6, A7, A8, A9, A10, A11, A12, and A14.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
I would make a motion to approve pending inspection and compliance for A1, A2, A3, A4, A6, A7, A8, A9, A10, A11, A12, and A14.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. Okay, let's see. Wait, do we have to do B or no? Yes. Approval.
Part of the consent agenda?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Summary current events.
So, yes, current events. Anybody? We don't have to. Are we going to do the call to the public?
Do we have one?
We don't have one.
Okay.
You know, ever since you were no longer in the chair, guess who's not calling in?
No, but he got his bill passed. He keeps telling us he wanted more rule but there ain't. He got a bill passed for more rule but there ain't.
All right. So, speaking of the future meeting, so the next two are on the 4th?
Yes. So, yeah, please note, next one is Wednesday, September 28th, instead of the 3rd. So, don't show up here on the 3rd. We'll be here. Okay, friends. Does anybody have a motion for us to adjourn?
I move we adjourn, Madam Chair Prager.
Second.
Thank you. Motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody. Okay.